Hey, thanks for checking out another episode of Triple Play. Don't forget to like, subscribe. Don't forget to help our sponsors, especially our main sponsor, Brooks Bible College. Check out Brooks Bible College if you're wanting to go deep in God's Word, looking for a Bible degree, a biblical degree, or a counseling degree. That's their specialty. They're not a all-purpose college. They just strictly focus on the Bible college part, so they're not a liberal arts. So if you're trying to look for maybe an alternative to a seminary on a budget, you're trying to go into missions, you want to do anything like that, this is a place to go because you're going to get a good education at a low cost. That is what they're trying to do. They're trying to be able to get people in ministry without coming out of college. First of all, without a usable degree, and then second of all, without a bunch of debt. You can't be a missionary overseas if you've got $100,000 worth of debt, and it's hard to pastor the average church in America. Yeah, I don't know if you guys know this, but the average church size in America, 75 people.
I believe it.
So yep. Hard to do that with, unless you got independently wealthy people, you're not going to be doing that with 75 people and $100,000 to do that. So all that said, consider Brooks Bible College. We're proud to have them as a sponsor and can't brag enough about them. And we're looking forward to continue to grow that partnership. That said, we got some great guests today. We're going to dive into Wild at Heart, returning Vic Miller. We're excited about that. I always enjoy my time with Vic. And we've had a great relationship. Gosh, now spanning back, got to be close to 20 years now.
I was thinking 20 years ago, when we were doing Christian Businessmen's Luncheon,
yeah,
over on in Chesterfield Valley.
Yeah, I remember those. Yeah, were you at the initial one that was like in the city that they did?
No,
initially did one in the city, and then they moved it. Then they were going to do separate groups. That was like their initial, like, let's see what we can do. And then they, I think, divided into three or four groups.
This was just with you and Randy and Major and a few others. So yeah,
a lot of good men.
Yeah.
Yep. So, and we got Sean today. Good to have you, Sean.
Yeah, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
And I like the hat.
Thank you. Yeah, it's Wild Heart STL hat. That's part of our group.
Yeah. So, and if they go to one of those boot camps, they can actually get one, right?
They can purchase one.
That's what I mean. They can purchase one.
Yeah, we've got all sorts of bling logo stuff that, whether it's shirts, whether it's hats. Coffee mugs, as well with swords. The logo on there. Swords that we have. Yeah, we just got some swords that are got the old Wild Heart STL logo on them, engraved into it.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. So we're not trying to. We're using those to help scholarship guys. You know, so the money we make on selling those, we can maybe bring in a guy or two to come to our boot camps.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So
people, hopefully, if they've been checking out our podcast, they know that you have these boot camps, and we just had one in the fall. How did it go? Give me some lowdown on the fall boot camp.
Awesome. Yeah, it was great. We had almost 50 guys come out. And, you know, one of the greatest things is that we have guys as young as 18 and we have guys up to their 70s. And there's something for everyone. And what I love about it is just watching the transformation. Some guys show up, they know exactly what they're going to get. Some guys show up, they have no idea. At all. And just to watch God work in them and do an awesome thing. And so we call it a boot camp for a reason. We break you down, tear you down. God just rips into you, and in a great way, not in a bad way, not a scary way, but in a great way, because, you know, it's rare nowadays that men take a second to kind of sit and be quiet. You know?
Yeah.
And so we have all these guys that leave and they're like, oh man, the feeling I got from the weekend, just sitting in silence and sitting in, you know, around other men who are just kind of refocusing their lives and what God has for them, what God meant when he meant them, is really an awesome, awesome moment. And to watch guys come out of that on the other side, it was just great. So we've had roughly 40, 50 guys at every boot camp, and it's just getting better and better because we do have some return guys, and they pull guys in. They pull neighbors, brothers, fathers, uncles, whoever, their kids. And to watch that generational transformation happen, it's really incredible.
Yeah. And the other thing that Sean mentioned, we have guys that come back again. We call them repeat offenders. And what's crazy with that, a friend of mine came twice. And the second time he looked at me and he goes, oh my goodness, this is amazing. He says, this is so much different than the last time. We actually were using the same exact material. Mm-hmm. And I said, Steve, this is the same exact material. He goes, no, it can't be. It can't be. I said, yeah, it is. He goes, wow. He says, God is working and tearing down different parts of my life, or, you know, chiseling away things that I need to deal with. Another buddy of mine came a second time, and he goes, I thought I was going to, you know, do this, or where God was going to work on this. And he goes, God had a whole different purpose for me this weekend. And some really cool stories that we, you know, that I got to hear from him as well. But like Sean said, it's a boot camp, but it's a spiritual boot camp. So we're not waking you up at 2 a.m. and say, hey, let's go swim the lake. Now you can, if you want to. And there are guys that every boot camp they go to, they jump in, they do a polar plunge. We were just out in Colorado in November for a advanced Wild at Heart get together. It was mainly for guys that lead boot camps. And there were guys there from Australia, the UK, and one of the Americans took them out and they did a polar plunge. And they sat there. They didn't just jump in.
Yeah, if you're doing a plunge, you got to be in there for a minute or two to actually let it work.
They sat down, and there was about 10 of them, and they started singing Amazing Grace.
Oh, that's awesome.
Although they changed the words to that. Amazing Grace, how great the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now icy. They were in the polar plunge.
Get it? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So bad dad joke. Sorry.
That was good. No, you're fine. You know what? When I was listening to this, a couple of things that came to my mind is be still and know that I'm God.
Yeah.
We often don't, you know, and I think about Jesus going to the mountainside and spending some time with dad, especially usually in the middle of a lot of hustle and bustle in his ministry going on, right? It seems like a lot of stuff starts happening, gets a little chaotic, and then he goes away and gets refocused for what's about ready to happen. And obviously he comes back and then he does stuff like feed the 5,000, right? So, and the other thing when I'm thinking of, when I see you in telling that story is that we're always moving. Our lives are constantly in flow and in flux. You know, today you're great. Tomorrow you don't have a job. Today you don't have a job. Tomorrow you're, you know, the CFO of a new company.
There you go, Sean.
Things are always in flux. And because of that, when you take those times to pause, it's kind of like reading a Bible verse. You can read a verse sometimes and it says one way that time, and then you'll go back and read that a year later, 6 months later. And it can have a whole different meaning to you personally during that time just because of where you are in your life. And I think even if you're hearing the same material over, we all need pauses in life, right? I mean, you got to pause. If you don't pause and get away and unplug and unwind, I don't know how people who don't do that, I don't understand it, because they got to get wound so tight, right? Like,
right.
Got to have those times to, if Jesus did it and he's our example, what makes us think that we're better than him not to do it?
Well, and we do our boot camp starts on Thursday night and goes till Sunday at noon. And a lot of guys go, oh, I don't know if I can take off that much.
It's too much, Vic.
Yeah.
I can't do that, Vic.
Right. But it's 66 hours. That's all it is. But to get away, like you said, to be still, to be quiet. And one of the things we don't do, we don't break out into small groups. We don't sit there and sing Kumbaya. We don't go, hey, group hug, you know, that kind of thing. It's more of a one-on-one with you and God.
Tell me all your struggles, Vic.
Yeah, no. You know, and actually, if Sean said, tell me all your struggles, I could BS my way through that.
Right.
And go, oh, everything's good. You know, I'm doing great.
That's your typical Sunday morning answer,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Guy says, how's it going?
Yeah.
How's it been since last week? I'm blessed.
Yeah, God's good. But when you go to a boot camp and we say, okay, Josh, after this session, we're going to take a vow of silence. And we're going to go outside, find a place that you just get away with you and God. And we want you to ask this question or answer, journal this question. You can't BS God. Mm. You can BS Sean and Josh, but you can't BS God. And when you start going, all right, Lord, what do you think of me? How do you look at me? what do you think of whatever the question is? And all of a sudden you stop and listen. Wow. It can be powerful.
Yeah. And each session really builds upon the other one. And so it takes you just to a place that, you know, a Sunday morning service doesn't do. You know, I grew up a pastor's kid. I married a pastor's kid. I've been to every men's event under the sun for the past 40 years almost. And whether I was a kid that was just drug along for the, you know, the nice little potluck men's dinner to Promise Keepers to you name it. And all these different events. And there's nothing like this because it's not about men in front of other men. And you're trying to pose, you know, you're trying to be someone that you think other men want to see you as, or that you want to be seen as, but in the truth, it's you and God. And yeah, you're there with other men. And I think that's the most comforting part, is that you're all in uncomfortable in a way, because you're asking questions to God. Who am I? What do you mean when you mean me? What does it mean to, you know, find rest in you and find my identity in you, God, and not in what my wife says, what my boss says, what my employees say, what my clients say. You know, there's so many different ways that we take that question of, do I have what it takes? You know, I think about little boys in a ballpark. You know, I took my daughter to soccer practice last night, and, you know, she's like, well, what if I get hurt? What if I am not good enough? What if this, you know, and that's the question. As we grow up, we continue to ask that question. Do I have what it takes? Do I have what it takes here? And we take that question to the wrong place all the time. And when we take it to God, God says, you are my son. You are a king, you know, you will be. And you're finding your identity in what God says is who you are. And it's just something completely different. I love and hate the term self-help because I can't help myself. I really can't. And we have all these self-help books, and the truth is, the answer is Christ help.
Yeah.
You know, there's something in that. And it's funny because people will look at you and they'll say, oh, well, you must have something I don't. We hope they say that at least. But in truth, you know, we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we have that direct connection to God. And we don't tap into that the best way, because why? Our lives are so busy. Our wife needs us to do this. Our kids need us to do this. I'm working two jobs. I'm just going. And man, I never take a moment. I take a moment to pray. Maybe I pray to God, but what's a conversation? A conversation's two ways. A big part of that is listening. And so that's what this kind of focuses on is, yeah, you talk to God and you pray to God and you ask some of these questions, but when do guys take a moment for themselves, completely get away? And oh, it's a retreat. Oh, you're going to go eat steak. Oh, you're going to go see bison, and oh, you're going to go fishing. Yeah, we're going to do those things. Absolutely. I'm going to eat a giant piece of 20 ounce steak. You know, I might do that, but you know, at the same time, it is completely focused on sending these guys back a different man, a man that God means when he means them. And they get there by self-help. Yeah. Right. But they get there by the help of the Holy Spirit. And it takes a listening prayer to get there, because we really are awful at that in our, in our current society, awful at listening.
Yeah. Well, and the thing too, Josh, is, you brought up, do I have what it takes? And I realize when I was younger, I grew up in a kind of Christian, you know, I had grandparents that prayed for me, that brought me and my family to church camp. My grandparents ran church camp. Matter of fact, that's where I met Marianne, was at church camp, because grandma and grandpa made sure we got there. But I would tell you back then, and we got married young, we had a kid on the way, we had three kids by the time we're 27. The question that I didn't even know existed, but was haunting me, was, do I have what it takes? And that's something we talk about a lot in Wild at Heart and at the boot camp. And so often we try to answer that question through horizontally. I'm going to answer it through my job. I'm going to answer it through sports. I'm going to answer it through the girls. I'm going to answer it through money, drugs, alcohol,
fitness.
Absolutely. You got it. And so the world tells us to answer it horizontally. And it also says to get your strength from the woman, from the drugs, from the job, from whatever. And what I've learned through Wild at Heart and through the boot camps is if I can learn to get that answered vertically by going to Him, by going to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and going, Lord, I need you. Give me strength. How can I learn that strength? How can I take that quiet time? How can I be still and listen to your still small voice? Then I can take my strength to my family, as opposed to being a strength sucker, basically. And, you know, I listened to you this morning. We were talking about how busy life was. And I was kind of sharing that with Marianne, and she goes, can you imagine Josh Reed just slowing down for a little bit, you know? And I'm like, that's a hard, you know, you're a go, go, go. But part of the reason you can do that is you're getting your strength here and you're going, okay, I need to share that with my family, with my kids, pursue them, love them, care for them as God pursues us.
What? Well, I also intentionally try to take breaks.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to check out, you know, for me,
yeah,
my getaway lately has been my brother-in-law bought a house down at Lake of the Ozarks.
Yeah.
And so like me and my wife were just talking. She's like, well, if we go down there, we're not going to be able to really do a lot. It's cold. And I'm like, exactly. It's going to force us. We'll get everybody off the internet. We'll just relax. We'll, you know, spend time together, do some fishing. Great time to just catch your breath.
Unplug. You know? Matter of fact, we at our fall boot camp, we do it at Eagle Sky Camp of the Ozarks. It's down near Piedmont. Amazing church camp that meets Bass Pro. It's an amazing camp.
It's better than that.
Yeah. But we ask guys at the boot camp to unplug, but guys don't, you know, they still, you know, they're plugged in. At Eagle Sky, there is no.
That's what I love.
Yeah.
When COVID hit,
yeah,
I had no idea.
Yeah.
My whole family was in the middle of the woods on spring break. We did. We were outside kind of between Salem, Missouri. The address was Salem, but it was between Salem and what's the town down the boat one all the way. But it was between those two spots.
St. Clair?
Not St. Clair.
I'm not sure.
It's eluding me. And if I said it, I know you'd know it because it's like the boat capital. It's where everybody goes to canoe and go down the rivers and you go through the town and they got canoes all through this little small town at every little corner. If I said it, you'd know it. But anyways, but it's like, it was in the middle of nowhere. So I had friends that have 190 acres there.
Nice.
130 acres. And so we were unplugged. There was no internet there. No internet. Nobody had anything. So, and I had no idea the world had shut down. That's what made it weird. Cause when I came back, and I'm driving to work and nobody was on the road. I called Amy up. I'm like,
what's going on?
It's like the apocalypse happened, man. Schnooks is, it's like 9:30. There ain't nobody between our house and Schnooks. And I just passed Schnooks and there ain't nobody in that parking lot. What is going on?
Yeah.
15 days of slow to spread apparently had happened. And I had no idea the world had completely done a turnabout. I'd been in the middle of the woods when all that was going on. And I had messages, but I hadn't had a chance to check them. I get so many while I'm gone. So I just...
Right.
Was planning on plowing through when I got into the office that morning.
Well, it's funny you talk about that time because that's what kicked this off. I mean, Vic and I were sitting at home and we had guys at our church that were just hurting, guys that were pumped to go to the gym, were getting filled there. They were seeking that, you know, that answer to that question through all these things. And suddenly when you pull all those things away, their social life's gone, their work life's gone. They just suddenly can't prove themselves. They started seeking God and we just saw an open door and we saw, man, how many, 60, 80, 100 people jump on that?
Yeah, we did a Zoom Bible study for about 8 weeks. No, we did. We did 8 weeks with Who Has Your Back, and then we did the Wild at Heart one. Or Who Has Your Six, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And then we did the Wild at Heart one, and you guys are so hungry, you know, because they're stuck at home.
Yeah.
And then after that, I made an announcement on one of the studies that there was a Wild at Heart boot camp going on over in Kansas City. There's a group called E6, stands for Ephesians 6, and they lead a boot camp. And they've done about, I think they're about 15 or 16 now. But there's three of us that went over to that. Because I wasn't sure if I, you know, John Eldridge doesn't come in person to our boot camp. He comes via video.
Right.
And then our team shares as well. And I wasn't sure, how's that going to look? And three of us were there. And by the end of that weekend, I had two of the guys going, we've got to take this back to St. Louis.
You guys were fired up.
We got to take it back to St. Louis. And what I did then is I grabbed about 8 or 9 guys that had been to a boot camp experience of some type. And I said, do you want to join the team? And, 9 out of the 10 said yes. And we started, doing the boot camp, and we're now coming on, number 6 and number 7 this year. So we got two more
coming up. And what I love about it too is it's not through denomination. This is open to you, and you take advantage of it now. Yeah. And the other thing I like, and you were just alluding to it, which, you know, right now, hindsight a year, we got elections, we got a lot of financial stress on people. You just look at statistics across the board, and men are being bombarded. They're being bombarded like never before with financial stress. The average man right now is working 2 jobs.
Yeah.
We talked about being busy and, you know, trying to keep food on the plate. You know, they're trying to battle pornography and all the other, you know, the junk that the society's thrown at them all. Man, if there's ever been a time, I think, for men to unplug, get away, refocus, and find your source and find your purpose, right?
Yeah,
I mean, well, you know, the underlying thing is, you know, do I have what it takes? It's finding your purpose in the Lord, right? I mean, you're trying.
Well, it's trying to stop. You know, we're so busy, we don't even stop to ask that question.
Mm.
We're just too busy. Things are going on. I don't have time for that, Josh. You know, but then when you take the time, or mama makes you take the time, you know, but to be still and know, like you said, we've had, out of our boot camps, we've had over 200 guys come through. We've had over 20 churches represented. You know, so it's not one denomination.
Like 8 or 9 states, 3 right, countries.
Right, right. We got a guy coming from Colorado to our next one.
I believe it.
Not going to Colorado. He's coming from there.
But here's my thinking on this is men are finally waking up to the war raging around them.
Yeah.
You know, we read in the news about Israel and Ukraine and all the war that's going on over there. That's not here, though. That's not here. But the truth is, when we open our eyes, I think we're getting closer to end times. And I see it in spiritual warfare in men's lives. And nothing's new. You know, nothing's changed. It's, if you read about the New Testament, all the, you know, mission work that they did, and, you know, the letters written that we read in the New Testament, those are all letters to the church, right? And the church was going through all sorts of struggles. You know, all the stuff that we have, those were struggles of that time, too. So there's nothing new. But at the same time, men are waking up more to it. You know, I see the intentionality in men that are opening their eyes to the reality is that they're seeing a war being raged around them, a war for their money, a war for their attention, a war for just everything, for their vote, for everything. And men are waking up to that more and more.
I agree. I when I look around, I think that, you know, I'll look back and say 10, 15 years ago, we looked at the phone as a necessity in life. And I'm finding more and more men trying to purposely not be looking at their phone so much. And they're starting to understand.
I'm looking at my phone, quit it.
But, well, I am too, but I'm using it for the podcast. But I mean, you know, gradually being addicted to it all the time, you know, like just flipping through, not really, you know, it's almost like a drug, right? So,
right.
And when you start looking at the amount of hours people are averaging on a phone and on social media,
yeah,
it's unhealthy, right? We've seen the exponential growth of what we're doing right here, podcast, men hungry for something. I mean, one of the largest podcasters, the largest news servicer in the world right now is Joe Rogan, without a doubt. And Tucker Carlson following right behind.
Yeah.
What are some of the unique things that they show? Joe Rogan is a man's man, right? He hunts.
Right.
You know, he works out. He's into jiu-jitsu. Okay. You look at Tucker Carlson, lives in the middle of the woods. Takes walks with his dogs. Favorite thing, fly fishing.
Yeah.
You see some commonalities of that. You know, you look at these men who have these great positions within the news sector, and those guys wouldn't have been there 20 years ago. Then 20 years ago, it would have been the guy with the suit.
Right, right.
It would have been the guy, you know, but
successful.
Successful, yeah. Looking perfect. Got to have the part, got to look good, can't have any flaws. And they certainly could not talk about their flaws unless it was like cancer, and then you could talk about it because everybody would be sympathetic. Right. But to have a guy like Joe Rogan going, yeah, you know, like I do everything from a kettlebell. I don't do that because I'm not going to be that guy anymore. I'm not, my joints are not that way. I'm not the perfect man.
Right.
But I'm a man. I serve and I take care of my family. I think that there's some, I think there's a gravitation, and you look at their audience, a lot of men, I think.
Yeah.
And even women. I think women desire a man who's acting like a man. You know, they're looking around and they're seeing.
They want someone to lead them. They want, yeah, exactly. One of the things Sean said, I was just looking up, as you were talking about being on your phone, I was on my phone looking up the scripture. Eldridge was just sharing this in a YouTube video this morning. He says, 1 Peter 5:8-9, he says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And that verse seems to be so appropriate for what's going on. And so sometimes when you read that verse, you go, oh, crap. You know, there's that fear that, you know, the enemy's coming to take me out. And there is a battle going on. And what we're seeing, whether it's with Wild at Heart, or we have a couple of Wild at Heart Bible studies, or book studies would be best way to describe that. We also have what we call Wild at Heart Fire. Guys that have been to the boot camp before can come, they come to my porch, and we have a fire out on the patio, and it's just sharing your story. How often do you get to share your story of where you've struggled, where you've stumbled, where you're succeeding, but you're able to share a story? We don't stop enough to even do that, to even know what's Sean's story. He just says, hey, how are you doing? You know, and do we really know, you know, like you said, at church, we got our common answer. But do we really know the story?
We know their testimony.
Yeah.
You know, maybe if they're baptized at church, you hear it then, but there's so many going on at the time. Do you really let it sink in? Is it the same as asking questions, or just somebody kind of sharing on a sheet of paper they're reading before they go down to plunge?
Yeah.
Well, I think even beyond that, we don't just want a testimony. We want authentic manhood. And what is authentic manhood? What does it look like? How do you live that out? What does a woman really need and want? And what do your kids need and want? And what does God need and want you to be? And that's what all this tackles. You know, I see this book right here, Becoming a King by Morgan Snyder. He's on the team with John Eldridge at Wild at Heart, and he's written his own book. And it's geared more towards my age group, you know, that the guys who are in their 20s, 30s, you know, a little bit younger, maybe early to mid 40s. But it talks about, you know, becoming a king. We're all called in to the family of God, and we're all princes, right? My daughter is a little princess, right? You know, she's a princess of the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Like when I'm becoming a king, what is my kingdom? And so when you start talking about this kind of stuff, this awakens this need and want in us that has just been there from the very beginning, you know, when Adam named the animals. Of just like authority, taking authority over what is ours. And right now, what's mine? Well, you know, I don't know. I have this little yard and I don't know. I mow it. Like,
it's like the game of checkers. You've got the pawns and there's a point.
That's chess. You're talking about chess?
No. Checkers. And then all of a sudden, you say, king me. But you have to go through. So often we want to be the pawn and never become the king.
Yeah.
And we've got to, you know, to become a king, you've got to, you know, point towards Jesus. And
well, there's responsibility there, though. And as a man, I need to, you know, we hear the old term, like, pick up your cross, right? But, you know, what does it mean to be a man, authentic manhood? Like, do I have to carry a knife?
Right.
Does this mean I have to wear boots and not tennis shoes? You know, like, what does it mean? And I think there are generations of men that have gone before us. You know, you're in a different generation, Vic, than I am.
What?
But you know, there's a generation because of just society and dynamics, and you know, some men from, you know, grew up in the Vietnam War era. That they, they've kind of had, and their fathers were in World War II. There's a lack of passing the torch that kind of happened.
Yeah.
And so some of these men, they know how to be a man and be tough and be quiet and be authoritative. But do they know what it is to sit down with your family and have a Bible study and lead them in worship and lead by example in that? And I think that's some of the stuff generationally. I mean, I look at both of my grandfathers, excellent men of faith.
Yeah.
But did they express themselves emotionally in any way? And is that authentic manhood?
Right.
And when I read about Jesus, absolutely it is.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus cried. Jesus cried about Lazarus dying when they blamed him for not being there because, you know, it's Jesus's fault. And Jesus wept.
Yeah.
You know,
there's in the book Wild at Heart, he says there's a battle to fight. There's a beauty to rescue, and there's an adventure to live. And one of the guys, you're talking about military guys, one of the guys that's has jumped on our team, former Brigadier General. I would have never known that. This guy's, you know, just kind of a quiet guy, good, great guy. And he looked at me one day and he said, "This adventure to live," he says, "I've lived almost every adventure out there." You know, he was a helicopter pilot in Desert Storm, and he's Brigadier General, all this stuff. He goes, "This is a different adventure. This is a God adventure." And he says, "God is calling us into an adventure with Him that we as men need to get into that adventure and walk with Him." And I would say, knowing the men in this room, we are all on that adventure, you know. But there are a lot of men that are going, "Yeah, I don't need that adventure." Or, you know, "I just, you know, been there, done that.
I don't have time for that adventure.
I don't have time." Yeah. Or I don't want that.
I don't care.
Pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even get caught up in the minutia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen people on the adventure, but then kind of like reading the book, The Pilgrim Progress, they get pulled off the track into the minutia of something and forget the journey they were on.
Right.
You know, and where to, you know, they got off track a little bit. And, you know, I had a conversation today with somebody who's going through a trial. I said, "As soon as this is over, make sure you jump back on. I get that you got to take some time out for a moment, reprioritize, redo some things, but don't forget what God's called you to do. And don't sit on the sideline for too long."
Right.
So you need to jump in the game and get back in it. Otherwise, you know, just like when you don't exercise for a while, your muscles get lethargic. They start losing their tone.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to keep pressing forward in the Lord, right?
Right.
So, yeah, it's easy to get pulled off task. So give us a little bit. Obviously, you're helping out Wild at Heart. What drew you into Wild at Heart? When were you first exposed, or what was the what made you jump in both feet with helping Vic out with Wild at Heart? Sean?
Yeah, Josh. So about 20 years ago, the book was handed to me and I said, "Great, a book. No, thanks." I didn't really have time to read a book. I don't care about books. I'm in my, you know, early 20s, late teens even. I don't know how old I was. Probably right around there, 20. And, you know, just not for me. And, you know, I kind of skimmed through it, and as you do. And, okay, yeah. All right. But, you know, about 6 years ago, Vic asked me to go on an adventure. And he asked me to go to Colorado with him. And he said, "Hey, I'm trying to get my son out there. Would you go? You're about his age. Would you go?" And I was like, "Yeah, okay, cool. I'll go." And it's a great trip to Colorado. I've never really been to the mountains. I've been to Denver, but I've never been to the mountains. And so, cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Excuse for me to get away from my wife and kids. And I had no idea. I had no idea. Because again, you know, I've been a minister. I've been around tons of men's events. And I just, you know, I was serving in the church. I was serving in every capacity, helping children's church, helping people with prayer after service, I'd clean up, I'd helping with men's ministry a little bit. You know, I was kind of a jack of all trades and just, you know, checking boxes and, you know, doing what I thought you needed to do, just being present, but not really using the gifts. I was more of a consumer, but present in the ministry as well. I don't know if that makes much sense, but you know, I would be the greeter on Sunday, but then it wasn't deep enough for me. I wasn't contributing as much as God had in me. And so I remember going, and one of the very first sessions of the Wild at Heart retreat, that boot camp, was they said, I want you to acknowledge the agreements that you have. And I sat there and I thought, what? And he said, the agreement, and one example of that is, God doesn't have anything for me this weekend. I've heard it all. I've seen it all. God can't do something with this. This is just time away. This is time to get up to the mountains. And I was like, yep, guilty right here. And so I said, all right, God, all right. You know, I'm going to really lean into this weekend. And that's what John invited us into. It was an invitation into what agreements do you have? And I had those agreements. And that's probably the biggest takeaway from this is the agreements that I make, the agreements of, oh, you know what? That won't work. Oh, you know, going on this podcast, this won't make much of an impact. Maybe, you know, who's going to listen to me? You know, who wants me? Does my wife really want me to pray? You know, my kids don't want me to get down and play with them. You know, those are all agreements. And so the enemy uses those agreements, right. And those are his greatest weapon. And those agreements just devour men. They devour our wives. They devour men, though. They devour our kids, you know, and that's the kind of stuff that, oh, man, it just tore at me. And I struggled with this agreement thing, and I started acknowledging them. And then I started acknowledging all of the ways that these agreements have just forced me to look at myself, look at my life in all sorts of different ways. And so that just grabbed a hold of me, and I just came alive. Man, I was like, this is rich stuff. I mean, I knew my Bible. I knew scripture. You know, I went to Bible college for a year. I know this stuff, right? Right. Yeah, I'm a good Christian guy. You know, I never really done that anything too bad. And that was part of one of my agreements was, well, my testimony isn't that great. Guys aren't going to listen to me. I've never really strayed far to the, I've never gone down and done a ton of drugs. Never been an alcoholic, never cheated on my wife. I never done these things. No one wants to hear my testimony. And those are the agreements that the enemy uses with us. And that kept me on the sidelines. Right. It just totally took me out without me even knowing I was out. I thought I was in the game, but I was not in the game.
You just walked into the stadium is all that had happened.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like I was in the stadium with a blindfold over my eyes. I didn't even know. I didn't even know what the game was. But it woke me up a lot, and I'm forever thankful for it. So that's why I just try to grab as many guys as I can and pull them into this. In fact, I had two guys. I lead a group of guys. They meet at my house on Wednesday mornings.
Yeah.
And they're awesome guys. We're just trying to be good dads, good husbands, you know, good men of God. And so we meet, we have coffee, we sit on my porch, we just get together. And I had the pleasure of two of the guys coming, and just to see it, you know, to see a guy who his dad passed away just a few years ago. He had so many agreements, mm-hmm. He had so many names that the enemy had cast on him, stuff that he hadn't let go because he didn't know he needed to let it go. And by taking this quiet time with God, I mean, it was like a burden was lifted off of him. And he even said it. He's like, you know, God gave me a name through this. And that was so amazing. Yeah. You know, it was so powerful to see him kind of come full 180 from I'm good. I am not good. Okay. I acknowledge I'm not good, but God gave me what I need. I'm now good. And I can go forward not knowing I even needed this. But wow, what a relief, you know, what a burden lifted. And that's kind of how guys come in, very much like me, very much like my friend did, where we come in not knowing what we need. And God, if you take those agreements and wipe them away, it's just another weekend away. I only came because Vic invited me, you know, and God shows up. So that's why every guy needs this. I don't care if you're me and you've been in ministry, you've done all these things and you've seen it all. You've been in mountaintop experiences. You haven't seen the mountaintop yet. God has an even bigger mountain and he's ready to take you there. Or if you're the guy who this is new to me, I'm just finding my faith or where anywhere in between.
Right.
This is for everybody and it will take you higher on that mountaintop, no matter where you've been on that mountain.
I just talked to a pastor yesterday. And hadn't seen him in a while. I said, how are you doing? And he says, I'm just tired. And I said, come to our boot camp. And he goes, what are you doing? And I said, we're doing one in April 25th through the 28th. I said, we got one in October as well. I said, come and just get away and get with God. And I said, as a matter of fact, I told him, I said, we scholarship pastors. We'll help them if they pay for part of it, we'll pay for the rest. And, because we want pastors to get away and some of the pastors that have come, those are the guys that keep coming.
Yeah.
And they'll bring a group of guys with them and they'll go, this is amazing. But then like in Sean's situation with his two buddies, just to watch, to hear those stories, because we don't always know at the boot camp what's going down. His one friend literally said to me, he said, when you were up talking about your new name, he said, I checked out. I'm like, what? Guys check out when I'm talking? How dare they? But then to hear what God did through that and his willingness to listen and what God did not only through that, but also through his family and the healing that went on with him and his wife. And just a ton of stories. It's just powerful stuff. And we're privileged as a team to see God work and do a lot of that stuff that you just go, what do you got next for me, Lord? You know, we're excited to see what God's going to do. We just never know what it is until it comes.
And it sounds gimmicky to say, you know, you're going to go and get so much out of this. You know, it's not a prosperity.
No,
it's not a gospel thing.
No,
I think one of the things that I think is it's at the very core of the Bible, right? So that's timeless. The scripture's timeless.
Yes.
Right. And we're extracting from it.
Yep.
And John does a great job of applying some movies to help us kind of get our mind going that way. And those things I'm looking here, I know this is the updated version of the book, but I still have the old book. I got a couple copies, but, and here's what I tell people. If you do the book without the workbook, okay, it's like eating the whipped cream off the cake. Yeah. You're getting a little bit, but you're really missing the substance of what's going on. I can't tell how many times I've gone through that workbook now with men.
Yeah.
And that was the next thing I was thinking of when I heard you guys both talking is that while the heart is the chance to get away, but that conversation, that work that God is doing doesn't have to start in there. Go back to your church, grab one of these Becoming a King or, you know, grab a good book to go through, because chances are, you'll find out, like you were just saying, these two guys, there's a lot more guys out there that need this. They need those pauses. They need people to disciple them. You know, we just don't see, we hear that word in the church, but most of the time it's in mass group. And that's good. There's a place for it. Just like there's a place for the Wildhood at Heart boot camp. But, you know, Jesus often went to his 12 disciples, and there's something about having that intimate group that you're working through, battling through these things together too. And
yeah, that's where we do the Wild at Heart fires. That's that intimate group of coming together. You brought up something interesting. The workbook that he has. So we actually have, like, when I tell people about Wild at Heart, we have one Wild at Heart 101, 201, 301, and 401. And kind of the 101 is watching the videos, just, you know, you can do it as a Bible study. You can also read the book. You can also do the workbook as well and go a lot deeper. I think John, I was just reading a quote. We're wrapping
the
up.
The field manual.
So the field manual, he said at the end of the book, Wild at Heart, he says, jump into the field manual. He says, you'll get 2 years of counseling for $10 by just walking through that. And the book is a great book. We've been walking through it with a number of groups. But the boot camp is kind of like, the movie is better than the book, because it takes it and condenses it and brings it all together over a weekend. So guys can come to the boot camp whether they've read the book or not.
Right. Right. You know, it's not a prerequisite. You're just using the material from the book, but you know,
but it'll help if you've read it. I mean, it just takes you a deeper and a little different area, as well. So,
yeah. And it's great. If you haven't, go back and do it. And after the boot camp, read it, grab a couple of the guys and go through it with them and tell them how about this journey. And then you'll finish up and go to the next boot camp and take them with you.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. I love it. I think it's great. And just like you were saying earlier, how when people go to your boot camps, every time it's a little different. Mm-hmm. Every time I walk through a young man or a man through that workbook, you know, same questions are there.
Right.
But where I'm in life, the struggle maybe I'm dealing with, all different, you know, where my marriage is, where I'm at with my kids.
Oh, yeah.
All that is in this constant flux, right? So,
yeah, I went to a boot camp in South Africa. met a guy at the Colorado boot camp and then went down and helped with two of them in South Africa. And if you would ask me at that point, how's everything going with your family? How's, you know, I would have told you all the success stories, you know, of kids marrying godly spouses, of, you know, all these great things going on. And then 10 years later, some of that stuff has crumbled. Some of that stuff is, you know, kind of torn down, and you go, okay, God, what happened? What are you doing? What are you doing in my heart? Where are you working? And what are you calling me to do as a dad, as a father, as a husband? And I've shared with you this before, but like the word pursue, God keeps calling me to pursue my wife, my kids, as he pursues me. I hate that. He's always pursuing me. You know, he's chasing me down and going, I love you. I care for you. I forgive you. Go do the same for your family and those around you. Pursue other guys that are around you as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Powerful stuff.
I love that word, pursue.
Yeah.
Because I'm glad that he pursues me because I need it. Because I often always say God has to body slam me.
Yeah.
To get my attention often.
Sometimes it hurts, man.
Yeah. Hang but on. Man, I'm glad he loves me enough to do it. You know, like seriously.
Yeah.
Always hurts in the process.
Right.
But I rejoice when I look back and see the journey and what he was trying to do in my life and how I was just usually fooling myself, my own pride,
yep,
my own ignorance, my own, you know, so it's the whole thing, from a business perspective. If you're a Michael Gerber fan of, in his book of always being working in the factory and not taking a look back, you can get caught up in all the minutia and not take a glance, you know, not take two steps back to realize, you know, you're missing. If I make up 100 gidgets, but there's nothing down the downstream for them to go into, I'm just making a bunch of gidgets. And so we can get caught up just doing our job, thinking that the whole thing's being made. And there could be assembly line problems that you have just no idea because you're not looking up and looking down,
right,
to see what's going on. And I think that can happen in our lives. We get real busy just going in and out throughout the day, going through the routine. We're people of habit, whether we admit it or not. Most people are people of habit. We love our routines. My guess is if I asked you guys, and you can correct me, do you know exactly where you're going to sit usually every Sunday?
Absolutely. Every Sunday.
Close.
Yeah. And you got your little section that is marked out typically.
Yeah.
If you don't even, you know, and if you've been here a while, a lot of people have the rows. If you've really been there, maybe you got your seats picked out. So, you know, if you go to certain restaurants, you know, there's restaurants before I just hear the name, I know exactly what I'm getting. I go to Sugar Fire. I know I'm getting the Big Muddy.
Big Muddy, baby.
I switched up from that. I used to get that.
So name comes up, product comes up, man of habit, you know, like, you know, 100.
This commercial brought to you by Sugar Fire.
Well, but here's the thing, you know, you think that is your favorite thing, but the next big thing is always waiting. And that's exactly how God works. You know, you think your life is set and boom, he throws a curveball. You lose your job. You think your marriage is set. Boom. Here's a curveball. You have a child born with a disability. You think things are great. And then, you know, there's something there. There's something that changes it up, or there's something that's better. You know, you think you're plugged in and you have it all together. And then you find out what deeper relationship with Christ looks like. You know, what leading your marriage can look like. You think you have it all together, and there's always better. And that, you know, that book Atomic Habits comes to mind, of, you know, just that 1% better every day. You know, that's what I tell my team is, you know, 1% better, you know, and that's in business, that's in work, but, you know, better everyday mindset. That's what, you know, the thing that we let atrophy, you were talking about fitness earlier, the thing we let atrophy too often is just our centering ourselves in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, is I get comfortable with sitting in the same seat, eating the same meals, going to the same Bible study, going to the same whatever. And that's what I challenge guys to do with this. Step out of your comfort zone, stretch a little bit. Instead of doing just leg day, do some arms as well. Do a pull. When's the last time you did a pull up?
Right.
I'm guilty. I haven't done a pull up in a long time. I don't know if I could right now. I couldn't get my weight up, but you know, and I've let those things atrophy. And that's what God's calling you to do, is say, check it out, buddy. Wake up. Your muscles have atrophied in a way. You've become way too comfortable. And the rug will be pulled out from under you at some point. And will you be strong enough? And that's what this boot camp does. That's what, you know, God is calling us into, because there's nothing new in this book. You know, there's stuff I've heard so many things over the past 6-7 years that I'm like, that sounds just like Wild at Heart. But the truth is, Wild at Heart pulled it from the gospel.
Right.
And you get so many things pulled from the gospel, but it's just that different angle. It's that kick in the nards that says, be a man. What is a man? All right, here's a man. Go be a man. And, you know, when you think about who goes to church, it's who are the elders in your church? It's the guy with the white shirt and sits real quiet and real meek, and he's going to be a good Christian man. When's the last time you had a guy with a beard? I got a beard and standing up there going, come on, man, let's fight for our freedom.
Right.
Let's fight for our wives. You think of, you know, the movie analogies that John Eldridge uses and the content as well as in the boot camps that we do. You know, it's that brave heart scene with just men coming with blue paint on their face. And they say, we didn't get dressed up for nothing, right? You know, these guys, we're going through the motions. We're maybe getting dressed up, but are we really there to fight? Do we know what a fight is? Are we really there to fight for our life? Because here's the thing, you know, in John 16, Jesus promises persecution will come. Hmm. We have not been persecuted.
Right.
If you think of, like, you know, what's your persecution? Oh, DEI at school. It's really hard. Oh, it's really tough. Our kids are really struggling. Over in India, I know of a church where they came through in a small town and they started murdering families.
Right.
They started pulling people out, killing the adults in front of the kids and taking the kids off. You know, that's persecution because they're Christian. We don't know what persecution is, but Jesus guarantees we will see it. And we'll see it in all different shapes and forms. I'm not saying that stuff in America is not bad, not challenging. It's challenging in its own way. But we need to wake up to the fact that there's a spiritual war going on. And it's our responsibility as the men in the family to take that charge, to put the blue war paint on, because the war is going on whether we like it or not. The truth is, are we going to open up our eyes to it, and are we going to fight? And that's all it is. And it's not something to be scared of. You know, it's not something, oh no, the election's going to be really scary, we better get out and vote. Like, okay, honestly, that's not going to affect us too greatly. Do get out and vote, please. But still, regardless.
Well, God's already chosen he's going to win, right?
Yes.
And he's,
yes.
And so we can rest secure that whatever that decision is, he's.
But even more important than that, even more important than where our country goes is, where's your family? Hmm. Where's your neighbor? What about your father? Who's in the nursing home, and he has no one that's visited him, no one that's shown Christ to him lately, you know, or your neighbor who's alone. They haven't had anyone come visit them in months. They don't have any family. You know, these are the people that take charge. This is your kingdom. This is what it means when God says, this is your domain. You know, he gave Adam the ability to name the animals. He's given you the ability to say, go conquer, go be a man. What is a man?
So you're saying I have a kingdom?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, so many guys don't even recognize that. You know, when we did the Becoming a King study, first question I asked on the first night was, what is your kingdom and what does it look like? And a lot of guys even struggled with, what do you mean by my kingdom? And then once they started to realize what we were talking about, their kingdom was crumbling. And that was part of the reason they had come to the study, and God started to build them up and challenge them. And that's the thing, with the boot camps and with just the book Wild at Heart and Becoming a King are great ways to build up, you know, from there.
Mm-hmm. We're seeing a great revival right now.
Yeah.
In this generation. I think we're seeing a lot more people wake up to this.
Yeah.
You know, we're seeing a Billy Graham type moment right now. In fact, our pastor mentioned that on Sunday. I'm taking his content. But, you know, I think we're seeing a generation right now that is hungry because there's a lot of need. And I think the people step up when the need is great.
Well, with the Wild at Heart fires, they just started these fires. And it was a concept that a couple guys throughout the United States had put together and had been doing over the last couple of years. And they started a website on wildatheart.com .org. And you can go on there and look at their, you know, where the fires are. And we started one last fall. And that was like one of maybe 100. And there's over 600 fires throughout the world now going on. And what's cool is when you look at that map, they have this little flame on there. And it just looks like, you know, the Holy Spirit just coming across the world and what God's doing in the hearts of men all over the place.
You know, you mentioned how, before how it's non-denominational, Josh. And I love that about it because it's bringing men of different denominations together.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's not much that separates us when we have Christ. But I have to admit to something. I grew up thinking I'm better than the Baptist across the street or the Lutheran this or the Catholic that. We do it right. They don't. Right. And I had to wake up to something a few years ago, right after we started this, Vic. I got to talking with one of my neighbors, and he started sharing after I started sharing. And what he was sharing was that in their ministry in the Catholic Church, they had hundreds of men who were involved in Bible study, and they were involved in men's breakfasts, and they were involved in a men's retreat. And the content they brought them through was almost identical to the Wild at Heart content, because the truth is there's a need, and the Holy Spirit finds a way. The Holy Spirit finds a way in this day and age, in this culture. This is all God. This is all ordained. And so talking with him, my neighbor, one of my best friends now, Tom is an incredible guy. And what's awesome is that we get to do ministry alongside each other. So the thing is, you know, you might be hearing about this Wild at Heart thinking, oh man, yeah, I just don't know. I don't know about this. There's something else out there. What you need to do is get off your butt. Stop just listening. Stop sitting on the sidelines.
Yeah.
And just check in. Check into the game. Take the blindfold off like I had on for so long. And the game is there to be played, whether it's to be played in Wild at Heart or in your own church. And maybe you're the one that's meant to lead it. And that's something 5 years ago, I never would have raised my hand. You wouldn't have either to be like, take me, God. I'll do it. You know, Josh, you're doing this with a podcast. I'm actually challenged now with that guy, Tom, to join up in a podcast, join up on YouTube, join up with all this different content creation, because there is a huge need. And right now we're seeing it. Men need coaching. They need life coaching. They need business coaching. They need marital coaching. They need parenting coaching. What is it like to raise daughters that love God in this day and age? What is it like to raise sons?
Immodest.
Yeah.
What does modesty mean?
What does modesty even mean nowadays?
Yeah, that's I've got four girls, and so that's constantly one of the struggles, because even buying clothes can be a real struggle, because, you know, you're not trying to be like, hey, I want you to have dresses to the floor. But I also don't want your underwear hanging out, you know, or the minute you shift, a body part flowing out, you know.
Right. Like, guys don't want that. But what if I raise boys that do? That's my responsibility as a dad of a son.
Yeah,
you know. And so these are the things that we're waking up to. That the battle is there to be fought. And it's nothing new. But our generation, this is the way we're waking up to, and we're heeding the call. And so if you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh man, I don't know, just wake up. Yeah. Just look around. Just ask some questions and listen. Pray to God and listen. And that's all we're asking guys to do. Listen, what is your kingdom? Who are you around? Who are you influencing? Who's influencing you? You know, I loved growing up hearing the thing, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Whoa, what a punch to the gut. I mean, who am I the average of now? Uh-oh, you know, you better check yourself a little bit. But also, you are one of the five for someone else. And so you're contributing to someone else, either lifting them up or tearing them down. Mm-hmm. And that hit me even harder, where I'm like, wow, who am I not contributing to? Whose life am I making worse because I'm a bad influence on them? Not only my own family, you know, you talk about a kingdom, I'm influencing other kingdoms around me. Yeah. And that hit me. That hit me really hard, because I'm not only responsible for my own thing. You know, I always grew up here, and my dad was a preacher. You know, the people who teach and preach will be judged more difficultly. And it's somewhere in the New Testament, but you know, they'll be judged harder on judgment day. And I was like, well, I don't want to be a teacher or a preacher. The truth is, we're all teachers. We're all teachers of the gospel. Yeah. You know, we're all students of it, but we're all teachers of it in some aspect. So just know, you got to wake up, wake up.
Mm. Some good stuff there.
Yeah.
Hopefully people will be tuned on this as they're listening. Cause I know I love it. I love in the middle of my work day, when you talk about the podcast, of just stopping and having these great conversations, because it causes me in the middle of the bustle a couple times a week to slow down for a second and reflect and challenge myself.
You do this to help others, but I also know it helps.
Oh,
you benefit, you know, anyone that does ministry. If you're not benefiting, then you're not doing it right, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I learn all the time, and I've also learned that I don't got to lead everything too. Like I'm glad to just contribute where God wants me.
Right.
And there's different seasons of that. There's times where I'm called to lead and there's times where I'm called to help somebody else lead.
Right.
Just be right there. Be that, you know, nudge to keep them going, you know, because people can be dependent upon when you're a natural leader in a church. I think people can be dependent upon you and they don't ever step out of their comfort zone. So sometimes the challenge is to step back and encourage the next person to lead. And I'm kind of in that age, and I'm sure you are too, where you get to a point and you're like, I'm now an older guy in the church. And that's okay. I can lead. I can, if there's a need, I'm glad to step in, but I'm also just as glad I don't feel the need to do that, to help the guy who's God's working in and preparing to do that. And I'm just as glad to be there, to be that buffer, help him out. If he's gone for a week, step in, whatever is needed. And I think that just, you know, comes with that constant walk with the Lord, that constant,
right,
you know.
Well, Paul in Romans 7 talks about, I call it the do-do verse, you know, and so many guys like the three of us here, one of the dangers, we've got a lot of guys that are just sitting on their butts being spectators, but then we have guys like us that have jumped in, but we also have to be careful of all we're doing is do. And God's not looking at that. He's wanting us to also, I mean, he enjoys you getting involved, but he also wants to go, I want you to be involved with me. It's not about doing, it's about loving Jesus, loving God. And how do I take that time to slow down, whether it's a boot camp, whether it's a quiet time. It doesn't have to be a Bible study. It doesn't have to be working in the parking lot. It doesn't have to be teaching school. It doesn't have to be Upward basketball. Where do I slow down and be fed by him? And then how can I share that strength with others? Because your kids are watching. And are they being fed by dad and by what dad's learning? And or is dad gone all the time and going, I'm busy doing God's work? I had to learn the hard way on some of that, you know, to slow down and listen to him and then take my strength to them.
More is caught than is taught, my friend.
Yeah.
They're catching everything we do and absolutely. and you know, the kind of piggyback off what we were both just talking about too, is it's okay to lead. We should all be desire to lead, but it's also okay to help others lead and find the joy in that too.
Yep.
I find the joy in watching others lead, especially when God has allowed me to speak into their lives.
Yeah.
And to watch them mature in the Lord, and kind of like Paul, that proud, kind of pridefulness of Timothy, watching him grow up in the faith and take leadership in the church. And, you know, you can sit back and find joy, but still instruct, right?
Yeah.
Still be there to help people, those buffers, to encourage, to go along. And then, you know, hopefully if that goes well, you go start the next one, right? Like exactly. I'll start off to the next church to be started, jump into the next group, grab the next young guy to mentor. It's an ongoing thing. And just like your own family, mentor your own family. One of my favorite books, if you're a Chick-fil-A fan, Better to Build Boys Than to Mend Men, little book. But one of the things I love the book. And one of my favorite parts of it is how he raised his own kids, but how he found joy afterwards to continue to teach middle school boys, Sunday school class. The whole book is about how he spent his whole life, for I think 36 years, he led the middle school boys Sunday school class, and how nobody else really wanted it, but he loved it because it was such an instrumental time in young men's lives.
Right.
Obviously, if you do Wild at Heart, you're going to understand some of that. As well, but what an instrumental thing. And so he really found the joy in leading that. And after his own kids continue to lead, because that journey that was just with his family, now it was investing in the next group in the church and in the body that he was planted in.
Yeah.
So,
well, I think one of the great agreements that the enemy uses is I'm not that teacher. I'm not a guy who's going to sit on a podcast. I'm not a guy who's going to lead a church. I'm just an average old Joe. I wear work boots every day. You know, I'm not that guy. And God can't use me.
Right.
And that's the ultimate agreement. You know, that's where the enemy gets you even before you start. And so just know, again, if you're listening to this, you've got to know that you need to identify those agreements and you need to immediately attack those. You need to immediately wipe those away. Wipe away the name that the enemy has given you, that it's just a false name. You'll never be enough. You can never lead. You can never do this. What is leading? Leading might just be being present. It might just be showing up. It might just mean putting your phone down. It might mean anything.
Yeah.
But that agreement that, well, God won't use me that way. God won't use me this way. You have no idea. You have no idea. So before it even gets started, you wipe out God. God is infinite. God is invincible. God can do anything. God can do anything with you, through you, for you. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And you're not awesome. God is.
Yeah.
And that's the ultimate thing we need to remember as men. Like, this isn't by our strength. This isn't by our wisdom. This is God's wisdom. We're not going to get through this year. That's really hard. We're not going to get through it on our own. We're going to need God. We're going to need the Holy Spirit. We're going to need strength. We're going to need to lock arms and walk together. Right. So instead of just sitting there and saying, okay, things are okay. Things are not okay. Wake up. Things can be better. What if you wake up? What if you get in the game?
Right.
And a game might not be you leading at all in the way you think leaders need to lead. It might just mean waking up, looking around and saying, all right, guys, let's go. I'm in. And you might be 60 years old and never said that in your life, but now's the time. Let's go.
No brigadier general.
Yeah. Well, I jumped into, there's a group called F3. It stands for Fitness, Fellowship, and Faith. And it's a group of guys. It's an amazing group that has grown. I mean, they're
worldwide now, really.
Worldwide. And there's like 20 some groups that meet in St. Charles County. But these are guys that are hungry for that fellowship that you're talking about, for that camaraderie to walk with someone. And they're working out. Sometimes they're running. Sometimes they're just carrying they call it a coupon. It's a cinder block, and working out in parks at 5:30 in the morning. And you go, who gets up at 5:30 in the morning? But these are guys that are going, this has changed my life, because there's a fellowship and a friendship and they challenge each other. And there's a spiritual concept to it as well. It's not, you don't have to be a Christian to be a part of it, but it's challenged me in different ways that I would never think of. And as a leader, I can walk over and walk with guys that I would never meet. They never walk into church, but they'll walk into this, and I can have a camaraderie and a fellowship with them that I'll never have at a church.
Yeah.
You know, and those same guys will walk into a Wild at Heart boot camp and go, holy cow, I didn't know I needed this. I was on a plane from Istanbul, or from Tel Aviv to Istanbul, and I was on the plane with a rugby. Swedish field hockey, or not field hockey. He played,
was it rugby?
No, it wasn't rugby. Gosh, what did he play? A handball. He was a Swedish handball player. And he was also a mathematician. And he goes, I don't believe in God. He says, my wife does. I don't believe in God. But I like what you're talking about with this Wild at Heart book. And I gave him my book. And he emailed me later. And he says, I still don't believe in God. However, this book rocked my world. And it's challenged me to pursue my wife. It's challenged me to lead my family. And my prayer is I'm going to get whether it's in heaven or whether it's one day I get an email from this Swedish handball player that says, thank you for planting the seed, you know, and how God just kept pursuing him, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, I know we've gone a long time here, but,
no, I think that God uses it all.
Yeah.
And I think that, hopefully, as people have listened in, they will understand that men are at a place right now that desire fellowship, desire purpose, and need to break their agreements.
Yeah.
Got to get away from those agreements and need to be relentless in the pursuit of God, which requires listening more than talking.
Yeah.
And that means we got to get away and do things like Wild at Heart boot camps or F3 fitness or the Wild at Heart fires, where you can be still for a while. Some of them just a little pause in a day or the week, and others a pause to pull out a weekend to invest in your relationship with the Lord, because he's relentless in his pursuit of us.
Yeah. So. And they can, we haven't mentioned it, but our website is www.wildheartstl.com. And if they go to that and want to find out more about the boot camps or the Wild at Heart fires, there's an email address that they can send it to me. And I don't think we have the fires listed on there, but I do have a list of guys I send that out to. We're doing one next Monday night at my house. So if they go on there and want to find out more information, just go to wildheartstl.com.
Awesome.
There's a Facebook group too. And if you're waiting for an invitation, this is it, guys.
Yeah,
this is it. Or if someone else is, invite them.
Yeah.
Invite them, because this is real.
It's genuine. And if they want to meet with either one of you guys, drop an email and you guys can make it happen and chat with them. So
absolutely.
It's funny that you plugged it in, because I was getting ready. I was literally going to be my next thing. Hey, where can they find out about these boot camps and all? So now they know. They can go out to the website. Yeah. We'll put that link, like we've done before, in our show notes, and I'll put it up on the screen while they're listening here. So they'll be able to check that out, check out the website, stay in touch. And then, you know, hopefully if there's interest, you want to know a little bit more, want to talk to these guys one-on-one, we can make that happen. I can't say enough about the book and what it's done to me. It's my, you know, most young men, when they want to start somewhere, that's the best place I can start with sitting down and doing some discipleship, because until you know the key things of that book, almost the rest of it doesn't make sense. You know, like, you can, if you jump to 301 and you haven't gone through 101, you know, it's kind of like doing math and not knowing 1 + 1, and you jump into doing, you know, algebra, you're going to seem confused, overwhelmed, and unprepared.
And I'm encouraged by, I love how you jump in with the young guys and do the book, or you do the field manual with them.
Oh, absolutely. That's, we do the book and a field manual. That's my, when I get a call, that's usually the, I'll get a guy, you know, and that's also how I can measure their commitment.
Right.
Cause I'll carve out the time. I'm always open. Hey, we'll do this. You can come to my office at lunch on Mondays, or I'll meet you at the coffee shop on Friday, whatever it is. But my agreement is, you got to buy the book and the film manual. And if you can do that, I know that now you've invested in it. I'll have mine ready to go, and we'll go through it together. And we'll go as fast or as slow as we need to go through, because why would I ever want to put God on a time frame? Like, I sometimes, you know, you go through one chapter, and one chapter takes a month or two to dive in, because that's where God's working. That's where he's doing his work, and I don't want to rush him, you know? Other times you can blast through a couple chapters. And so, you know, just depending on where God, and everybody's different, you know, just where they're at in their journey and where they're at. Absolutely. So wildatheartstl.com. All right. Check it out. And, don't forget to, support.
Actually, it's wildheartstl.
Wildheartstl.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll have that up on the screen. And then don't forget to support those that support us. Also support for us. We're trying to get 30 people to commit $5 to $10 a month just to help us cover our cost of being around, the overhead. And not really a ministry, but we do enjoy doing this. Want to make sure that it isn't a burden. But we're thankful for those that do support us. And, some of those are Andy McCollum with Resource One. You got any financial planning needs, give those guys a holler. Recently you probably saw, one of the guys from there, John Brooks here, and Danielle. I don't know if we talked a ton about her, but she, was, left, I think it was 8 days old, in a playground in China as part of the One Child Act.
Wow.
Yeah, man. So she works there. Those guys are great. They're great Christians, believers. They're going to help you out with your planning. 636-458-1798. CS Design, who does our intro, outro. We're appreciative of Chris and his team. 573-436-3717. And Jeff Earhart, who is kind enough to let me borrow his employee, Scott Vance-like, every now and then for these podcasts. You can give those guys a call at State Farm at 314-821-5333. And, but if you're looking for an insurance broker that isn't State Farm, give this guy, Vic Miller, a call, because he'll be glad to help you out with your insurance needs too. I trust him, and so should you. So we will catch you guys next episode. And, thanks again. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Josh.
Thank you, Josh. We'll be right back.